But now joining us is Stephen Kyler. Steve Kyler, covers the NBA for Basketball Insiders. You can follow him on Twitter at SteveKylerNBA. Hey, Steve, thank you for the time. How's your Saturday?
Matt, my Saturday as well. We got a win today, so that's always a good thing.
There you go. Okay, now before we get into what's going on with Cleveland and the Cavaliers, I want to ask you about this London game that happened on Thursday between the Celtics and the 76ers. I'm trying to figure out exactly what the point of these games are. Is it just global appeal? Listen, I love going on trips. I think it's awesome that they can get to go to London. But what do you think is the real point behind having NBA games in London?
Globalization, 100%. It's globalization. It is, the NBA is the number one sport outside of soccer. But when you talk about global appeal, because in the U.S. soccer doesn't necessarily matter, when you talk about global appeal, the NBA is up there with everybody. And, you know, we've seen this in the exhibition season. There were a number of years where the NBA was in France, Germany, China, anywhere they could be. You know, what we're seeing now is, one, there's a real appetite in London specifically, and a building that can generate the kind of revenue that makes it worth it to do a home game there. Now there's been a lot of talk about maybe a home game in Germany and maybe one in Paris, and we've seen home games in Mexico City. And so the NBA wants to be a global brand. I think the availability of charter travel, and now that we've got a little bit more room in the schedule, there's a lot more opportunity to do these kinds of things because the money's there, the fan base is there, and the interest is there. A little kept secret. For a number of years now, the NBA has shifted a couple of NBA games every season to start at like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, so that it could be on prime time in Europe. So the NBA's been playing this game for a little while. The London game is 100% about globalization.
Steve Kyler joining us of Basketball Insiders. Follow him on Twitter at SteveKylerNBA. So you kind of touched on what my next question was, but what do you think the next country is possibly that could get a game? Like, I look at China, for example, and say, I mean, I know the NBA is largely popular in China. Just look at all the All-Star votes that Yao Ming used to get. Do you think that could be like the next country that gets an NBA regular season game?
Well, we're playing exhibition games in China now annually. It's a given. Regular season games, the only challenge with China, China's a little bit further away than London. When you really look at the travel to get to London, you know, you're talking 9 hours. It's about an hour and a half more than, say, New York to Portland. You know, when you're talking going to China, that's a 22-hour trip. I mean, if you charter the whole thing, you're flying up to Alaska and then down. You know, it's tough to do China in the same amount of time. So you're losing, you know, probably 3 days in the travel, and that's hard to pull off. But, you know, look, I think there's, and Adam Silver's talked about this, regular season game in Germany at their O2 arena, very possible. The big thing for the NBA is it's got to be worth it to them financially, and a lot of the venues that exist for professional sports aren't big enough to make it worth the NBA's wild. And as more of these buildings come online that are suitable to NBA standards, I think we'll see more. There's been talk of maybe an All-Star game in Europe. I think the logistics on that are kind of tough, but Mexico City for sure. Paris and Germany, specifically Berlin, absolutely on the radar for the NBA.
Yeah, all these leagues, NFL, NBA, they're all looking for ways to grow. And the Cleveland Cavaliers are certainly looking for ways to grow after a loss to Indiana yesterday. They blow a 22-point lead. Do they need to make a move at the deadline? There's rumors that it's DeAndre Jordan is going to be that team, that guy. But if they do get a guy like DeAndre Jordan, how much of an effect would that have on this Cavaliers team?
Well, the Cavs' biggest problem is they're not very good defensively. They weren't very good defensively last year. I think they ended the season, 22nd in the NBA, and we've never seen a team that low defensively win a championship. So they've got to figure out a way to get better defensively. They've been better this year than last year, but you're starting to see, and this is, you know, what Ty Lue was kind of talking about, is, well, I guarded my man. You know, and the challenge is not just guarding your own man. You got to play a little bit of help defense in this league. You've got to be able to help the helper. And that's become a bit of a problem in the Cavaliers. And look, I think the Warriors go through this a little bit too. How do you get up for game 41 of the regular season? You've been to the NBA Finals 3 straight times, and you don't want to say flip the switch, but, you know, the Cavaliers don't value regular season games as much as they should, and that's why the Boston Celtics are sitting on top and Toronto's nipping at their heels. And then more importantly, you give opposing teams game film of them beating you. You give them the confidence. And I think that's why the Warriors take pride in not only putting teams away, but crushing them a little bit to make sure when you come around the next time, you're thinking about the last game, not this game. You know, trying to play the head games. The Cavs don't understand that, certainly don't play to that on a regular basis in the regular season.
Yeah, for sure. Steve Kuyler, our guest. Steve Kuyler, NBA on Twitter, covers the NBA for Basketball Insiders. Totally agree with you regarding the defense. So Isaiah Thomas is going to come back soon, and Isaiah Thomas is widely thought of as a bad defender in this league. I mean, maybe the worst, I think, if you look statistically last year. What kind of role do you see him having on this team when he does come back? Because outside of the defensive problems, it's always tough for superstars to blend. But what role will he have, and do you think it will be a positive one given how bad his defense and the team defense is?
Well, we've seen a couple of games already with Isaiah Thomas. You know, they're doing the minute restriction thing on Isaiah Thomas and trying to ease him in. You know, the games that he's played well. I think he's played better than I expected him to play with so much time off. But what he is he becomes another scorer. He is a legitimate guy that can score. And, you know, he can play make. There have been a couple of games where he's made these incredible passes. To just create more opportunity. When you've got a guy who can score 30 in this league, who can play the point, who is looking to pass as a willing passer, that just makes everything better. But it does change the team dynamic because LeBron isn't the quarterback when Isaiah Thomas is on the floor. But I think that might be a good thing. You know, the one thing you got to be weary of if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers is too many minutes, too much load on LeBron, and then you get to the postseason and he's not 100%. I think that's where Isaiah Thomas is going to be, you know, the biggest addition for the Cavaliers is that you can actually score some points, win some games without LeBron needing to play 40 minutes a game. They've got to get better defensively, no question. They've got to get better cohesively, and I think that's the thing we've seen so far is that Isaiah hasn't been a plus-plus in every category because they're different, and then you've got to figure out the rhythm of different.
You know, you make such a good point about the minutes with LeBron, because if you remember last year, LeBron sat out, I think, maybe the last two regular – he didn't play a lot of minutes like in the last week of the regular season, and he was totally fresh going into the playoffs, and that really helped Cleveland out. So I am totally with you there. Steve Kuyler is our guest of Basketball Insiders. Okay, so a lot of people in the Eastern Conference, when you look, I think – are discounting Toronto. Like, every time I read articles or listen to anything, it's, okay, we're inevitably going to be Boston and Cleveland when it comes down to things. How seriously should we be taking Toronto, who is three games back of the number one seed right now in the East?
And 15-2 at home. I think that's the thing that gets overlooked is just how dominant Toronto has been on their home floor. And then the other part, when you look at their offense production versus points allowed, it's one of the best differentials in basketball. They're very good. But I think the reason everybody discounts them is the reason I discount them. Because we've seen this before with Toronto. They can win a whole bunch of regular season games, and then as soon as you stencil playoffs on the floor, Kyle Lowry forgets how to hit the basket. So until they prove that they can break through and play this way in the postseason, you just don't believe because for the last 2 years they've come apart in the playoffs. But the one thing I'll say is different this year. There is a new vibe with them. They seem really dialed in. Nobody's looking for their own thing. Kyle's got his contract. Serge Ibaka got his contract. Nobody's playing for a payday. They're playing for each other. Serge Ibaka's playing incredibly well. They're getting huge production from their bench unit. They're a very balanced team on both ends of the floor. And, you know, with DeMar DeRozan hitting threes, that's the big thing because forever – he's been a reluctant three-point shooter. Now he's not only pulling up, he's knocking them down.
Do you think one of these teams in the East needs to make a move other than Boston and Cleveland to get over the top? And who could possibly be available for a team like Toronto or a team like Washington or Miami, who's 24-17? My goodness, they're having a good year. What guys could possibly be on the move to help improve some of these above-average Eastern Conference teams?
Well, the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors just don't have anything that makes sense to move. You know, Toronto's going to be, and Boston are going to be one of those teams that maybe catches guys that get bought out or those end-of-the-bench trades that happen at the trade deadline. I don't think you're going to see either one of those teams do anything splashy because Boston's also sitting on the idea that if they can get to the conference finals, they may get Gordon Hayward back, and that would be a huge addition for them. But they absolutely need to try to find some help in the front court, specifically rebounding. And I think you'll see the Boston Celtics looking for that. But right now, there's just, you know, those kinds of trades aren't really telegraphed. You know, the idea of them going out and doing something huge and splashy, that's not what either one of them are going to do. You know, the Washington Wizards would like to do. It's funny, I was talking with some people at the G League Showcase, and you know, the prevailing thought is everybody wants to add a player, but what are you going to give up to get one?
Right.
And right now there just isn't a market yet that says, I'll give you this for that, and it's equal. It's, well, if I'll take your best player and you know, you give me, you know, 95 things, but those kind of deals don't happen at the trade deadline. Miami is interesting because this is who Miami likes to be, a bunch of no-name guys that really play really hard, and they just outwork you. You know, but they've got a lot of money tied up into guys like Hassan Whiteside. Deion Waiters just decided to have season-ending surgery. So Miami's going to be a team to look at. But they did this last year. As soon as when they were in the hunt, they said, you know what, we're going to let these guys play it out. And it worked out well for them. I think they're in a better position now than they've been. We'll see if they stay that way.
I think Miami is a fascinating story because haven't they kind of proven that you don't have to – sometimes in sports, we see it all the time in baseball. Like Josh Hamilton gets a big contract, but he's 32 years old. Albert Pujols gets a huge contract. He's 33 years old. And they just flop when they go to their new teams. But Miami kind of did it differently. They said, we're going to give the big money to young guys we believe in. Do you see that being the mantra moving forward when it comes to NBA free agency?
Well, if you can't get the stars, get the guys you really, really like. And, you know, look, Miami went after stars. They tried to get Gordon Hayward. They tried to make something splashy. The year before, they went after Kevin Durant. They'd love to go get themselves an all-star. But if they can't get the all-star, they're okay with who they have. They really like James Johnson. They really like Deion Waiters. They like Hassan Whiteside. You know, they've got guys that they're more than comfortable with because as a group, they're very good. But the challenge with this, though, is it's hard. It's really hard in the NBA to win and get into the postseason without a star. And Miami just doesn't have one. They've got six really good players. But when it comes time to get to the playoffs, they're just not going to have somebody that can take over a game. And that's where Miami is going to start to maybe go, look, some of these guys are good. What do you give me for them at the trade deadline? And see if they can get out of some of this money and maybe get themselves somebody with tremendous upside.
Steve, got about 30 seconds here. Who do you think is the biggest contender to the Warriors in the West?
The Warriors. They've got to stay healthy. If the Warriors stay healthy, they are a class above everybody else. But Houston's really good. San Antonio is really good. You know, we'll see what the Clippers end up being. They continue to kind of flip the switch. Minnesota has the potential to be really good. But at the end of the day, the Warriors come out of this if they're healthy. But I do think the gap between winning and losing is much smaller than it's been. We're going to probably see two games deciding one and two in the West.
Good stuff. Steve Kuyler has been our guest, covers the NBA and basketball for Basketball Insiders. You can read all his work and follow him on Twitter at SteveKuylerNBA. Hey, Steve, thank you for the time and enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
Anytime, my man. Be well.